Good morning. Today is Sunday, June 17, 2018, and it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you wonderful dads. Let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 7. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and believed in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we were born again. That took care of the sin problem for us, but many of us have not dealt with the sinner's problem by not repenting and turning away from our sin nature. It's natural for men and women to sin, but we're not called of God to be natural men and natural women. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 17, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find the law then that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. There's a great record here. "With his gift inside us, we are spiritual men and women. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is one who works as an envoy, a messenger, a diplomat, an elder. He or she is to be a superior example of the kingdom they serve and are sent to negotiate on behalf of their country." We have had terrible examples of ambassadors from our country in regard to the political realm. Mankind thinks, "I should be able to live my life any way I want." And indeed, he can. God gave you free will to live as we choose. But we cannot live a fulfilling life without acknowledging God, or at least not for long. "I'll do as I please." Well, we are free to do as we please. But there are outcomes and other after effects for the choices that we make. Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 19, let's go there. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." We can choose life and blessings, or death and cursings. Then God tells us, choose life. Unfortunately, when men and women choose the way leading to death and cursing, they quickly get mad at God and blame him when their lives begin to bear the consequences of their own choices. Yet what did God have to do with it? He told them, choose life. There are those who do not want to receive God's instruction. Rather, they want to find a confirmation elsewhere for what they want to do. So they hunt until they find someone who affirms the way they want to live. And when it doesn't pan out, they accuse God. There is still this thing called sin. The devil has plenty of articles and false teachers who are most willing to verify any way you choose to live. Proverbs tells us the adulteress, speaking of the adversary, hunts for the precious life. That is the born-again believer, the born-again ones. He knows your past sins have already been forgiven, but he wants to keep you in the washing machine, so to speak, of the old sins, or in the same sins. There are several ways to disregard God's instruction. Some may profess, "I don't believe in God." And then some who are born again may simply not have, "I don't have time to make themselves knowledgeable of God." Time spent to know God's word is your most valuable asset. Romans chapter 5. How did we get in this predicament? Well, Romans chapter 5 says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned." All men and women sin, including the born-again ones. Sin is a part of our flesh. As Franklin Graham wrote in his book, Through My Father's Eyes, parents don't need to teach their baby to cry or whimper or kick and scream. It comes naturally. Toddlers don't need lessons on disobedience and meddling. Teenagers don't have to be taught how to sass or talk back or rebel. Mankind doesn't need to take life 101 to learn the art of lying or cheating. He stumbles right into it. These fleshly behaviors follow the path from infancy all the way to adulthood. But when people are confronted personally with this thing they call sin, they rename it to soothe their minds. They laugh it off and call it, "Well, that's just human nature." Well, God didn't call us to be human naturists or naturalists. As I opened, God hasn't called us to be human naturists or naturalists. And that, it's just being me-ist. No, he didn't call us to be any of that. We were called as sons of the living God, and it's a very high and noble calling. If you go to 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 1 it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." But don't let them determine for you what you are. You are a son of God, son of the living God. "Let the world not know us, but we ought to know who we are." We ought to go to the Word and study the Word and find out who we are and live accordingly. When we were born again, we received remission of sins for all of our sins from the past. Romans chapter 3, if we go back to Romans, verse 25, "Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." But we still have that flesh, that sin nature in our flesh. We were washed in the precious blood of Christ for our past sins. But do we still sin today? Hello, my name is Larry, and I'm a sinner. My last day to be sin-free, my last time I was sin-free was when I started this teaching. Between us and our loving God and Heavenly Father, it's just a one-step process, a one-step plan. It's not a 12-step program. We're not required to go back and find everybody and all these different things. We ask his forgiveness and he forgives, and then we walk like one who is fulfilling a high and noble calling. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But I am a repeat sinner. Well, the Father is, friend, the Father is a repeat forgiver. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We should live like men and women who are loved by God. The scriptures instruct us and challenge us to repent. Look at Acts chapter 17. Verse 30, it says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commanded all men everywhere, repent. Repentance means a change of moral thought and reflection, not just to forsake sin, but to change one's mind and comprehension. In Latin, it means to recover one's sense and sensibilities, to reform and have a genuine change of heart and life from worse to better. Choose life and blessings. Let's turn to Proverbs 8:33. So when we repent, we turn about from where we were going, which was away from life and blessings, and from one who gave us free will to choose. Proverbs 8:33 tells us, hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. I remember when I was learning my retemeries, that was one of our retemeries, and how it helped me to remember it. Be wise. Heed instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Refuse it not. There is instruction for not repeating the same sins over and over again, for not being a repeat offender of the Father's will. It is available to not keep repeating the same sins. Jesus thought so. Let's go to the record in John chapter 8 of the woman taken in adultery. In this great record, we'll start in verse 2, John 8, verse 2. And early in the morning, he, Jesus, came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, here Jesus is teaching the word, teaching the people how to live God's word. They take this woman and bring her in there and push her in front of all these people. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst among all these people that were gathered there, if Jesus was teaching in the temple, I probably would have kind of wandered over to where he was teaching. Verse 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. What a situation. This is the last day of the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the Tabernacles. All the males were required to be in Jerusalem on that day or for that week for this holy festival. So you have thousands of men at the temple, and there are various places to teach. Jesus goes there, and he looks around, he sees a beautiful column over near the treasury, and that's a good place. And he sits down, leans his back up against it, and all these people are standing, and he begins to teach. And the Pharisees and scribes, the scribes are the ones who have a doctorate's degree in the Torah, have tried all week to catch Jesus during these holy assemblies, but failed. And the Romans had already taken away from the Judeans the authority for execution. So in order to ensnare Jesus, they tried to tempt him with a question that would entail a judgment regarding a death sentence. This is the only occurrence of in the very act in the Bible. The Bullinger Bible says in the very act means self-detected. It's auto Ferraros. It's a phrase. Pretty much every Bible translated in the very act. But in the Greek, this phrase is widely used, and every time it's always translated self-detect. Auto meaning self, and pharos meaning to detect. Nowhere is it used in Greek writings outside of the Bible. outside of the, what they translated in the Bible, is it ever translated in the very act? Many commentaries and teachings on this topic treat it as though the woman was caught in the very act of adultery. It was not a conspiracy with spies or anything like that. This woman detected sin in her life and came and confessed it. The scribes and Pharisees then took her private repentance and set about using it against, to set it and use it against Jesus in this great power move. How cruel can people get? How unkind. They were so very unkind. If the scribes and Pharisees had truly been interested in upholding the law, they obviously would have, like all the texts say, where's the man? Where is the man? If they were caught in the very act, then you have two people were there. So why didn't they bring the man along? No, no, the woman came to the place. She felt the guilt in her heart and the condemnation, and she wanted to get rid of that sin. She wanted to confess her sin. So she would go and she confessed her sin, and the man was not with her. All they had was the woman confessing her sin. Maybe they overheard her when she was praying, God, I'm so sorry. Or maybe she went to one of the elders for counsel. I got myself in a situation and I have done something wrong and I want to get out of what I'm in. What can I do? And then they just take it around to, and you just shove her in front of the whole crowd. They humiliate her, embarrass her. They didn't need a man. They didn't care about a man or nor that woman. They were after Jesus. They wanted to get Jesus. They wanted to get him to pronounce a death sentence so they can turn him over to the Romans, that he required a murder charge. Then they say in verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? That's not what the law says. The law says that both of them, both the man and the woman, should be put to death. But because the Romans had taken away the authority for them to do any executions, they threw stones. They started throwing stones and, you know, how can you tell which stone, whose stone actually caused the death? So in court, that would be tough, tough one to try and prove in court. Verse 6, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. So they wanted him to give a death sentence to the woman. You see where it's going? Mm-hmm. Sounds like our politics today. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Accuse him of what? Violating the Roman law? He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They were so excited, the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. They thought they would get finally be the ones to get him. Everybody's been trying to nail him, but we'll be the ones, we'll actually get him. And they thought for sure they'd be the ones to finally bring Jesus down and rid themselves of him. And they would be the ones hailed as the heroes, but that isn't how it happened. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Curses, foiled again. Curse you, Perry the Platypus. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. She had confessed her sin. That's why Jesus didn't condemn her. She had already asked the Father for forgiveness. And he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But he also didn't pass it off. He called it what it is. He said, go and sin no more. Don't do that again. From this point forward, don't do it anymore. So it's possible to turn away and not be caught by the temptation to sin again. So how can we avoid being serial sinners? Well, let's go to Proverbs. It gives us some great truths. Proverbs chapter 4, let's start in verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Hear instruction. Be wise and refuse it. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and not go in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You know, people always want to try and live on the edge. They want to get as close to it as they possibly can. I remember when I was growing up, one of my friends had a concrete pool in his backyard. And his parents were getting ready to leave for the weekend. And they told him, you can have your friends come over, but don't let anyone go in the pool. Because they didn't want the responsibility of anybody getting hurt or anything happening in the pool while they were not there. And so, you know, the guys come over and, you know, they're walking along the coping on the edge of the pool and kind of leaning, you know, wanting somebody push me in is kind of the thing they're doing. They're on the edge. No, I'm not supposed to, but let me have a good reason. Push me in. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That is the evil spirit realm. They are devils, demons, evil spirits. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them on the tables of thine heart. Back to 7:4. Proverbs 7, verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman. And then verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And she'll say, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let solace or delight ourselves with loves. With loves. Well, you want to get pushed in? There's the pusher. She was right there. But it was just love. We love each other. Well, remember when Connie taught on the different kinds of love, the knowledge about God's love and biblical understanding of other words that are translated love. So it's important to keep us safe from the devil's version of love. Not get caught up in it and think, well, that's God's love. There are charming spirits, seducing spirits, many in the sexual side of life. Think about entertainers whom people enjoy. They charm and seduce each other and those of us in the audience. They go through romances and marriages faster than a three-year-old goes through clothes. People try to cover their sins, saying, well, that wasn't my heart. Sin is evil, and if you're contemplating evil, the end result will not be pleasing. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Well, the word can reign in your heart if you keep it in your heart. Remember David? Remember Psalm 119:11? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolish man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Fretteth means twist or overturns. It's not a reliable source. Don't trust in your own heart. Trust in the Lord. And put the Lord's word in your heart. The encouragement of the world is follow your heart. If you follow your heart, you're going to end up in the soup. You'll end up in the pool time and time again. That'll get you close to the coping and get you walking along the edge and leaning and, you know, wishing somebody will push you in. Unless the word of God is hidden in our hearts, our heart is the easiest way for Satan to deceive us. In that case, don't be misled by your own heart. Confess your sins. He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Those spirits can be cast out and not keep you in the same sin. That's what happens. People fall into it and they allow that spirit to enter their lives, and then they wonder, why can't I stop thinking about this? Why can't I stop doing this? It's because there's spirits there. God will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And remember, the evil spirit realm is in all unrighteousness. Isn't that what the devil is? Repent and be a prime example of the kingdom we serve. Let's live and light the way of life and blessings as ambassadors for Christ. That's what we can do. So that's what I thought I wanted to share with you this week. So bless your hearts. Thank you.